Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete welcome in Waiver Wire James. Who are the best options heading into the week? How to tap into the Coyotes? And a look at this week's schedule and teams that are best to target. Plus, DFS plays, best bets, the entire deal.
What's good, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you on this Monday morning, checking out the fantasy landscape and touching on waiver wire, the whole bit, as we get you set for the next week in fantasy hockey.
My favorite day of the week in fantasy hockey, not for the work schedule, Pete, but for fantasy hockey. I love Mondays. I love scouring the waiver wire. And we had some injury developments, too, over the weekend, so lots to get to on today's show.
And this is the first fresh week, right? Because it was that extended first week in most leagues where it started on opening night, and then maybe if you were having a bad week, it was like it rains, it pours, you couldn't recover. But this is an opportunity here for a clean slate in your season-long leagues and a lot to get to out there on the wire. A lot of good line combinations to check out.
So let's bring our good friend James Harding in. He writes for NHL.com/fantasy. He is the waiver wire expert. So James, I'll turn it to you. How's it going, man?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Big question entering this Monday morning is, are the Arizona Coyotes for real? I mean, I think a way to tap into this team who's on a four-game winning streak is Nick Schmaltz. What are your thoughts on Schmaltz and his placement on the Coyotes offense?
Absolutely. I think when you look at Schmaltz right now over his last week, one goal, five assists. He's got 8 points right now in seven games. And he really looked like he was starting to settle in Arizona last season before that knee injury cost him the last half of the year. He had 14 points in 17 games after he was acquired from the Chicago Blackhawks. And we really thought, okay, maybe when he's healthy next season, he could take that next step forward. And I really think that he's going to take that next step forward there this season. He's playing in the top six consistently. I think there still might be a chance at some point, if Derek Stepan falls off, that they shift him back to center and move him onto that first line between Phil Kessel and Clayton Keller. I'm very high on Nick Schmaltz right now, but I want to ask you guys, in a lot of leagues right now, both Darcy Kuemper and Antti Raanta are out there right now, and I know we've had the discussions and you guys have had the goaltending discussions right now. Raanta put in a very good performance the other day in his second start of the season. Do you see that still leaning a little bit more towards Kuemper, or do you think that fantasy players should be targeting Raanta a little bit more if he's available on their waiver wire?
Well, I think this situation's a blessing and a curse, James. It's a blessing for the Coyotes because they have two very strong goaltenders. But it's kind of a curse for fantasy owners because in most leagues you can only go with one or the other. I still favor Kuemper just based on track record, and he has a clean injury history where Raanta doesn't. But I'd like to get Pete's thoughts on that too.
Yeah, I still think that if you are out there in your fantasy league and you need a third goalie or a fourth goalie, if you have the roster room and Antti Raanta's out there, I'm with Rob about Kuemper. He definitely has the leading edge in the curve right now, but Raanta has a very high ceiling. I still think he has a higher ceiling maybe than like Semyon Varlamov, like some of those other second string goalies like Yaroslav Halak. The ceiling for Raanta is enormous, and if a couple game losing streak, the pressure gets ratcheted up a little bit in Arizona, I think Antti Raanta could really make a push here.
Yeah, and there are definitely a number of guys, too, you know, talking about the door opening for the Coyotes, who I think are going to have fantasy relevance this year. Like I said, Schmaltz, who's number one on my waiver piece this week, only 29% owned. Even Clayton Keller is only 56% owned in Yahoo leagues. Derek Stepan is only 9% owned. Alex Goligoski, who had three assists last week, only 2% owned, seeing a lot of power play time on the second power play there. So there are a lot of intriguing options for them, but I definitely think right now Schmaltz and the goaltenders outside of a player like Oliver Ekman-Larsson are really, and Phil Kessel, are really the guys to key in on for the Coyotes.
Two other valuable centers on your list. You have Paul Stastny for the Vegas Golden Knights and Adam Henrique for the Anaheim Ducks. Which way would you lean there?
I think right now you just have to go with Stastny because of who he's playing with. You know, he's been bumped onto that line with Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty at even strength. He's playing with both of them and Shea Theodore on the first power play. The guy he bumped off of that line, his rookie Cody Glass, is also on that first power play with him. But five of his 7 points over his last five games have come on the power play. So the consistency of playing with Stone and Pacioretty at both even strength and on the man advantage, I think, just makes Stastny too valuable to overlook right now. I do love where Adam Henrique is playing with Rickard Rakell and Jakob Silfverberg. Both of those players entering Sunday night were tied for the Anaheim lead in scoring. So I think that if Henrique can stay there, he definitely has a chance to match or better his NHL career high of 50 points that he set a few years ago in the 2015-16 season. But I definitely would say right now, just based off of the track record of the players he's playing with, I like Stastny if he's able to stay with Stone and Pacioretty, because we know that in Vegas, Gerard Gallant really doesn't shift his lines very much. When he sets something, they stay pretty much that way for a while. So I think that Stastny is going to get an extended look on that line there. So I'm going Stastny.
And Silfverberg, I know Rob talked about him in his segment last week on NHL Network. He scored another goal on Sunday. He needs to be considered as one of the top wing options this week off the fantasy waiver wire. Speaking of wings and forwards who are a little deeper on the waiver wire front, there's Brett Connolly for Florida. I know they're dealing with this injury to Barkov, and Alexander Kerfoot, who surprisingly didn't end up playing with Mitchell Marner on Saturday, even though we thought he would. Babcock played a little switcheroo. So who do you like more out of Kerfoot or Brett Connolly?
Well, I think Kerfoot's value right now in the short term with John Tavares injured is only if he's playing on that second line with Mitch Marner at even strength. If he's not there, I don't think that he has anywhere near the value that we were considering. Connolly is playing with Vincent Trocheck and Mike Hoffman on that second line. He's definitely shooting the puck a lot more to start the season. He's on a 3-game goal-scoring streak right now. He had an NHL career-high 46 points last season in 81 games with the Capitals, so he's starting over the last few years to see that offensive progression take hold. And so I would say right now, between the two of them, I like Connolly just for the mere fact that even if Florida decides to start switching up their lines, and of course with the injury now to Alexander Barkov, we don't know the extent of that injury or what that could do to that top six in Florida right now. But I think that as long as Connolly is able to remain in a prominent scoring position for Florida over the long run, he's going to have more to do with fantasy production than Kerfoot would, because as I said, Kerfoot is definitely tied to the short-term value while John Tavares is injured. But I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think players, because it happened on Saturday night, what do you think players should do if they are Alexander Barkov owners in fantasy? Who should they look to target in-house and out-of-house?
Well, I would say, since I am a Barkov owner, that it creates a little bit of a pickle because he's only listed as day-to-day right now, so I don't really think I can replace him, James. I mean, if I was an in-house owner, you know, you might look down to the second and third line there, but you're not going to find a whole lot. I think Trocheck's the guy if you own, you're really set with that, but otherwise, I just simply don't think you can replace a Sasha Barkov.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, if you're in a shallow league, like Vincent Trocheck is the obvious choice, whether he stays on the top on the second line or gets elevated if Barkov's out for a few games. Trocheck brings hits, brings shots on goal, brings a decent scoring production. So if he's out there, he's the obvious choice. I would also take a look in Chicago, what's going on. They just called up the rookie number 3 pick, Kirby Doc, and he was actually playing with Patrick Kane and Dylan Strome. They moved Dylan Strome to the wing for the rookie kid. So, James, are you looking at Kirby Doc at all as him scratching the surface this upcoming week?
It's definitely an intriguing play. He's only 2% owned right now in Yahoo leagues. He did skate 13:41 in their loss on Sunday night against the Washington Capitals. So, you know, he was there between Kane and Dylan Strome, and we know the kind of chemistry that they showed in flashes in the past last year. It'll be interesting to see where he sticks in that lineup right now. I think I wouldn't jump on him just yet. I need to see more out of him than just the one game, albeit in a very, very potentially productive situation if he could stay with Strome and Kane. Absolutely, he's one of those guys that you would have to consider. But until we definitely get more of an understanding about where he's going to be playing on a consistent basis in that lineup and for him to start showing a little bit of that production, I'm not jumping on that bandwagon just yet. But I think in Dynasty and Keeper leagues, he's definitely something down the line that you're going to have to keep an eye on.
The Colorado Avalanche continue to be one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. You have three players on that list from this team: Andrei Burakovsky, Tyson Jost, and Samuel Girard. All three tend to be streaky, so who should I pick up with confidence that they'll keep the production up?
I think right now Girard would be the answer. Outside of Cale Makar, they really don't have a lot of production from the back end just yet. I don't think Ian Cole is going to be able to sustain the start that he's had to the season out there so far. So if I had to pick one, I definitely would say Girard. I do like Burakovsky a lot, skating on that second line there with Nazem Kadri. But I think if I had to choose one, Girard is skating on that top pair at even strength with the exposure to that elite top line of MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog. He is running the point on the second power play. He's getting excellent coverage, 4 assists, 13 shots on goal, 13 blocked shots for those leagues that count blocks in 8 games so far. And he has seen his point numbers increase every season so far that he's been in the league. So I think that he definitely has a chance to break the 40-point barrier for the first time in his NHL career. I think him and Makar both hit that point mark this season. Burakovsky, I think, has, you know, he was streaky in his years in Washington. He had streaks of absolute brilliance, and then he had streaks where he would just go as cold as you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. So I'm leery on Burakovsky until he shows me a little bit more, but they would be the two that I would look at there, but I'm definitely banking more on Girard this season.
Yeah, Jost is interesting after the hat trick and the big win against Tampa Bay on Saturday. We'll see if maybe he could get elevated lineup placement as a result of that in the coming days and weeks. James, one other thing I wanted to ask you. So Chris Kreider over the weekend was moved up to the top line with Zibanejad and Panarin. The Rangers are in a tailspin right now, 4 straight losses. But what is your pulse on that top line? And do you think they could eventually give Kako a run there? Because, you know, Buchnevich didn't work out. Doesn't look like Kreider's working out. And Kako's just sitting there with no production and no line mates right now.
I think at some point they probably have to look into that. I think the reason why they hadn't put Kapo up there just yet was because they wanted to try and spread the scoring out. They didn't want all of their big guns posted on that first line. But I think at some point you have to try and give this kid a chance with the top playmakers on this team, the guys who are going to be there for the long term. You have Panarin, who signed for 6 more years after this year. You have Zibanejad, who said signed for, I believe, 5 more years after this year. And then you have Kapo, who's going to be the face of the franchise for, hopefully for them, the next 10 to 15 years. So, you know, these guys are going to be around each other for a long time. It's the offensive core that they're trying to build. Kreider's a free agent at the end of the year. He's probably going to be a trade chip come January or February. So I would definitely think at some point soon, it has to happen where they give the rookie a shot on that line. But I just don't know when it's going to happen. He did take one shift with the top line in the second period the other night, but then he was immediately bumped down to the third line. So, you know, Quinn is definitely playing a little bit of lineup juggling with him. I think he's just trying to keep the offense spread out. But until he starts producing offense, I think you need to start putting him with some playmakers.
When looking at games played, the New Jersey Devils only play one game this week. We saw Jack Hughes have points in back-to-back games over the weekend. But because they only have one game, if he's available in your league, might you shy away from adding him?
Depends on what kind of a league it is. But, yeah, I would definitely say I'm staying away from as many of the New Jersey Devils this week as I can. They have been playing a little bit better as of late, but when you look, their one game this week coming up, is against the Arizona Coyotes, who we talked about a little while ago, who have turned into one of the best defensive and goaltending teams in the NHL so far at the young point of the season. So I don't love the matchup for the Devils, especially with how they have opened the season right now. And if that's their one game this season, and then you look at the next handful of games after that, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, and Carolina, all difficult defensive and goaltending matchups for the Devils to contend with as well. So I'm probably shying away from the Devils a little bit right now in general.
Yeah, I have Gusev in a couple of my leagues. I'm clinging to that spot, but this week I might have to cut the cord on him in at least one of those leagues. But James, great insight as always. Thanks again for joining us, and follow James out there at jharding_hockey.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
So James mentioned the Anaheim Ducks a little bit, how they're trending up. Cam Fowler's on the list. Adam Henrique's on the list. They play four games this week, Pete. So is that a team that we are absolutely all over now?
Yeah, I think whether it's like a Kasha or a Comtois or Getzlaff, like whoever fits your price point, whoever fits your position need and the best player available, if it's Silverberg, Fowler. I mean, they have a lot of options here and a lot of productive players. They've been bad on the power play so far this year, but I expect that to revert back to normal soon.
I put my finger up, and I'm sure both of you think I'm going to chime in on the Ducks. We all know they're my best bet, but that's not why I'm chiming in. I'm chiming in because I got a text from James. He'd like to be referred to as Waiver Wire James moving forward. He's earned it. He takes the time every Monday to come on, give his waiver wire tidbits.
Like,
so Waiver Wire James, that's how we will refer to the human being going forward.
And I'm not gonna lie, I used one of Waiver Wire James's top pickups from last week, Pete, and it actually had me get the victory on Sunday night last night. So big
that?
Shout out to James. Well, you know what? It's funny. I was so active in that league at this point. I'm not sure exactly who got the last block or the last faceoff when I needed, but it was all thanks to Waiver Wire James for sure.
Very nice. Yeah, I got a couple of W's in three of my four leagues last week. So onward and upward after a slow start. But yeah, I think the Ducks have some appeal here. They've started really strong. Like, what are they, like 6-3 or something like that? So close loss the other day, but nice fantasy team moving forward. Thatcher Demko, let's revisit this situation because Markstrom came back. The Canucks looked pretty good over the weekend. The only loss was a 1-0 deal to the Devils. So that reflects well on Demko, right?
It really does. And the best part of that, if you did add Demko and got a couple of those wins he picked up, you're looking pretty good right now because he forced his way into a 1A, 1B timeshare there. I know that you and I were all over it last season. We kept thinking, okay, this is the week that's going to happen. Well, guess what? Now we're in the first month of the NHL season, and I think Demko's made a little bit of a case for more starts now.
Yeah, one of the dominoes fell, and he has an opportunity here to pounce on it, and he already has so far. We had a fan question that I thought was interesting from BaseballDN98. We both chimed in on it this morning, but let's revisit it here. Martin Jones, is he worth dropping in a league that has good options out there like Carter Hutton, Markstrom, Demko, Samsonov, Grice, Halak? I mean, are you tying yourself to Martin Jones once again with some mixed success so far?
So I like Martin Jones. I'm a Martin Jones apologist. I'll put that publicly. I think I like the Sharks again this year, so I would hold Martin Jones. But this Twitter user followed up by saying, you know, Samsonov's intriguing because it happens to be a keeper league. So for that reason, I would drop Martin Jones and get the up on Samsonov because Holtby's a pending UFA. But the only problem, if you're not in a keeper league, if you're in a standard league, I will say Holtby's last two starts have been pretty dynamite. And now I think Coach Reardon is going to give him the vet treatment moving forward, meaning barring any unforeseen circumstance, Holtby's probably getting the preferred start.
Definitely a nice response from Braden Holtby, as you mentioned. I think, yeah, if you're in a keeper league, you're not going to want to consider like Grice, Halak, Markstrom, because they're all in contract years. So as James mentioned in his story, his top two waiver wire pickups of the week are similar to what they were midweek last week. So it's Demko and, of course, Samsonov. So that's the strategy moving forward at the goalie position.
One sneaky team I know that you like, Pete, is the Philadelphia Flyers. They play four games this week. Is there anybody on that roster? I know their lines have been in a blender, but regardless, is there any player that jumps out to you as we should take a flyer on this week?
You got to, with each passing game, you got to take Travis Konechny more seriously, especially playing with Couturier. Konechny also has a history, remember, playing with Claude Claude Giroux and Couturier for many games last season, and he seems to be taking an expanded role so far this year. So I like him. I also like this little wrinkle coming on Monday night, especially if the Flyers are underdogs, as they should be at home against the Golden Knights. Joel Farabee, prized prospect, scored 3 goals in 4 games in the AHL, and he's back up to the big show here.
Do you think there's any appeal in taking them Monday night on the road against the Vegas Golden Knights and Marc-Andre Fleury?
They're at home, I believe, the Flyers.
Oh, are they?
So,
even
yeah,
better.
So I do like that spot from a wagering standpoint.
They are at home, and I was just going to chime in. It seemed like Petey was going to take that home dog Philadelphia Flyers over the Knights, and it seems like you're going that way.
I am. It's been a little up and down, to say the least, for the Flyers so far. It worries me a little bit in season-long leagues. Like, I'm a Hart owner and one. And whether you look back at that preseason game and then the game up in Edmonton where he got yanked in both of them, that just worries you from a team security standpoint. Is that team going to have his back consistently all year long? I'm not sure I could answer that, but on a game-to-game, single-play basis, I do like the appeal for the Flyers.
So Petey gave me his pick, Flyers. Mm-hmm. Robbie, you have anything up your sleeve?
I do, and this is a total slam dunk obvious pick, but if you had a tough weekend in baseball or college football and the NFL was a little crazy yesterday too, take the Dallas Stars against the Ottawa Senators. You can put a lot to make a little, but the Dallas Stars, Pete, quietly emerging from the shrubs, looking like a pretty decent hockey team over the weekend.
Yeah, the Stars, I was looking. So this game against Ottawa, it's 2 of the 4 worst power plays in the NHL right now. But obviously, Dallas on paper should be much better. I still think they should eventually get Radulov back up there on the first power play unit. Not so sure why he hasn't gotten so much time there. But the Stars at least salvaged that Pennsylvania road trip that almost went awry on them. And I think they'll bounce back again here and get the win at home, as they should.
And you guys know Bobby doesn't like to lay the money with the favorites and the pucks. I hate to jump in front of this Colorado Avalanche train, but I kind of like the value on the St. Louis Blues at home. And quite frankly, it's amazing. They're favorites. So I'm going to take them as favorites. Colorado off the big win against Tampa. I know it's dicey. Colorado 7-0. They haven't lost a game. Give me the Blues. The line is a little fishy. Give me the Blues at home.
I would double down on that because I've watched a couple Blues games this year so far, and they seem to be falling into the we only get up for big games type of mentality after winning the Cup. I think this is one they've got circled on their calendar. They're going to be extra jazzed for it. I would also take the Blues this evening.
And a butt on the Avalanche hot start is that they're allowing the second most shots on goal per game in the NHL, ahead of only the New York Rangers, who are a downtrodden team right now. So that's a kind of bit of devil's advocate against the Avalanche as well. I'm with you guys. You both have convinced me. I like St. Louis at home to get up for this big game.
So Monday's a light game slate, 4 games, but you know, one of the matchups that just jumps right off the board is the Toronto game at home. And I know we touched on this a little bit on last week's episode, Pete, about how without Tavares, it's easier to play DFS with the Maple Leafs because you can isolate Austin Matthews, because you can isolate Morgan Riley, and because you can isolate Freddie Anderson. So if you are playing DFS on the 4-gamer, you definitely want to cherry pick the Maple Leafs.
And Matthews played with Marner and connected with Riley on that overtime winner against the Bruins on Saturday. And the big thing is that you can also bank on, if Matthews is with Marner, Andreas Janssen is going to be on the left side of that elite duo. I mean, those two guys together, that's top 5 duo in the league, to say the least, for the NHL. So yeah, I like stacking Matthews with his line mate Andreas Janssen and hoping that the Marner effect trickles over to Andreas Janssen.
Now, I saw an interesting storyline on Twitter this morning. Tyler Seguin's former house in Dallas got destroyed by the tornado down there, and everyone was concerned that he was still living there. It was a scary thing, but it turns out it's actually for sale right now, so I guess he gets to collect the insurance and move on from that. But that being said, I have this feeling Tyler Seguin going to go off tonight, so get him in your lineup.
I heard Davey Satriano put in a nice offer for the house also, so he might be moving down to Dallas.
And for the Avalanche, I mean, are you riding the hot hand with Tyson Jost? I mean, or is that too shaky just because he's still on the third line?
Well, big shout out again to Davey for winning that, or almost winning that FanDuel contest last week. That was crazy. So direct your DFS questions to Davey. I'm riding a little bit of a cold streak, I will admit to that. But for the Avs, yeah, Tyson Jost is a player, Pete, I think, is a great value guy that you put in for insurance on your last roster spot in DFS because, number one, yes, he's riding the hot hand, but two, it's that kind of sneaky appeal where if the Avalanche do get a couple goals in that game, he's probably chipping in on one of them.
And are you rostering, if he's in the contest, I haven't checked to be honest, but Farabee at home against the Golden Knights, or I mean clearly like James was talking about, the Stastny play is gold on a night-to-night basis for cheap exposure to the Knights.
I would take a flyer on any rookie that's making his debut or getting into the lineup on any occasion. They always have a little bit more juice. We saw it with Kirby Dach, like we said yesterday. For me though, Marc-Andre Fleury against that Philly team, I have too many bad memories of him just robbing that team year after year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I'm a little shaky about loading up on the Flyers, but I think Farabee's a good way to get some action there if he's available in the lineup.
And I mentioned like the Flyers have had ups and downs. They've had some games where they maybe deserved a little better, like the game they got blown out in Edmonton. They had like 45 plus shots in that game. They're actually third most shots per game in the NHL right now. So like Florida, how we've had some patience with them, they still lead the league in that department. Have some patience with your Flyers. Don't make any crazy trades to trade away a Voracek or a Giroux.
No, especially because they have four games this week. So look at that trend in DFS too. If they get a nice little Monday hot start against the Golden Knights, that's a team that you're going to go back, back, and back for more this whole rest of the week.
So let's give a little daily dose here of our fantasy picks for Monday's light slate. I got Stastny, as I mentioned, 5,300, absolute no-brainer in a game that I think the Flyers could pull the upset, but will be on the higher scoring end. Farabee, I did just double-check. He is in the contest. Minimum price, $3,000. Sign me up for him. Whether you're stacking him with other Flyers or elite players like Matthews or Marner from another game, I like that cheap exposure with his NHL debut on tap. I like John Klingberg, 5,500, bounce back spot against the Ottawa Senators for that power play unit. And then Jordan Binnington, under $8,000, is a lock at home against the Avalanche, 7,900. Sign me up.
I'm doing an all-West little contest here, so I've got Tyler Seguin as my center. Joe Pavelski, who's been cold, as my wing. D, I'm going Ian Cole. Shout out to Waiver Wire James on that pick. Okay, and then my goalie tonight, Ben Bishop. How can you go wrong there?
And reminder, everybody, to hit us up with a voicemail on the NHL Fantasy on Ice hotline number 917-830-8114.
Guys, we've had a number of calls. It's amazing. A lot of people leaving messages. We are going to get to these messages throughout the week and going forward. I will say this, though. The first one, the very first one that came in, I'm going to fire it right now. The very first one. We don't know who this person is, but this was the first message that came in on the hotline.
Hi, guys. This is Katie from Connecticut.
Katie from Connecticut.
Just wanted to share a special message for AirCheck.
That'd be me.
Here it goes. Hi. Welcome to CC's. Go, Cody.
Wow. Welcome to CC's playing off the little restaurant. Whoa. Oh, boy. First one that came in. Clearly a listener. Awesome. Clearly a fan. Mm-hmm. Cody, CC, he's kind of cooled off a little bit, if I'm correct. But you know what? I'm still riding him.
You sold high on him, right? You said to sell high.
I did say that. You're right.
Good
and
stuff.
I mean, yeah, we don't know who that is, but I might have to go through the archives, Bobby. Any ex-girlfriends from the Connecticut area, I'm going to have to go through your Facebook archives tonight. I know what I'm doing.
Maybe it's an alias. I don't know. I don't know any Katie's from Connecticut in my life. Clearly, though, she's fired up about Cody Ceci. I love it.
Maybe Cody Ceci in a DFS spot on this Monday.
Ooh,
against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I'm putting that in the lineup right now. Legitimately.
Might be a sign.
Well, great show, guys. Thanks again to James Harding for joining us on the program. Follow him on Twitter for NHL Reese, NHL Jensen, Air Checked, the whole round table. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.